seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. Every now and then, you just have that feeling. You want a microphone in front of you right now. You want to hop on, you want to talk sports with you on the afternoon drive. And part of that excitement is because, as I mentioned yesterday, we have a guest host in studio, Steve Bordstein, who has joined us on air for about 8 years over the phone, talking horse racing, baseball during COVID, talked a little bit of everything as we tried to fill time during that wretched 4 months. And now, Steve, you've made the trek from New Mexico. Here you are in Price.
Yeah, it's fun. It's always fun to imagine when you're on the phone doing an interview with a radio host, what they're doing behind the scenes. And now I get to see the actual work in process. And it's been a lot of fun. And I have to say, before we go any further, I am about to really, really push Jordan here for a second. This is the most important man in radio in this community. I have been witness to multiple phone calls in the middle of the afternoon, and late at night, in the middle of the morning. You are literally the major voice of sports in this community. It is fascinating to watch.
I appreciate that. And, Steve, you've been around a radio for so long, you know that there's a trust between the on-air talent in the community. There has to be. And when the community embraces you the way they've embraced me, it's a beautiful thing. And so, while I definitely appreciate the compliment, I think it's a compliment to this community because they've embraced the show. They've embraced my personality over the last 10 years. And you can ask my wife. It's not easy to embrace my personality.
Same with my girlfriend, with my personality. Trust me. You know, I remember being told by my boss, I'm the man you used to love to hate on the radio. I was that person. You know, I brought an opinion. It wasn't always popular. It wasn't always the right opinion, which is some people. But you have to do that. And it's marketing. You are marketing a product. You are marketing yourself. You are marketing your abilities, your expertise, and your abilities more than anything. And when you have the kind of success that your show has shown and that your station has shown, then it speaks wonders. And I got to be witness to that firsthand over the last 24, 48 hours.
Well, it's been great to have you along. I'm looking forward to the show today. And I know that there is so much happening in the world of sports, including the end of an era officially now in New England, as far as I'm concerned. I know Bill Belichick is still around, but the news last night that Julian Edelman is calling it quits. We got to get into that on the show today. We also have to talk about the game-changing injury in the NBA. And we'll dive more into this, I know, a little bit later on the show. But if you missed it, last night the Denver Nuggets suffered just a blow that I don't believe they're going to be able to recover from. And last week, when I was breaking down contenders in the NBA, I had come to the conclusion that there were two teams in the Western Conference. And Jazz fans, I know I caught a lot of flack for this, but I'm going to say it again. I do not view the Utah Jazz as a legitimate Western Conference championship threat. I just don't, because I believe that it's a horrible matchup for the Jazz when you have a healthy Los Angeles Laker team. That's a big if. Now, if the Lakers are not healthy, the Jazz have to encounter the Denver Nuggets. And right now, it's a 4-5 matchup between the Lakers and the Nuggets. That's bad news for Utah because they are the one seed. So you will see one of them in the second round.
Right.
Right. That's not the case anymore.
Nope.
Jamal Murray suffering a torn ACL. He is out for the remainder of the year. And I know injuries are part of the game. The Lakers, I believe, are fortunate in the injury game because mm-hmm. LeBron's high ankle sprain, it's basically meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis and his swollen Achilles, if that's what you want to call it, could be a problem.
Could be a problem, especially if you compare it to the Klay Thompson situation a couple of years ago. Yeah, Kevin Durant. If you compare it to that, then yeah, you don't want to rush him back. You don't want to push him too soon, but he'll be available at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
But the Jamal Murray thing is, that's that's the end of the road for Denver. Because Nikola Jokic is great, but they had that 1-2 punch without Jamal Murray, and not just for the playoffs this season. Forget the rest of the season of the playoffs. Now you have to figure how long is that rehab going to last into next season and what that does for the team going forward. I mean, it's a major, major blow for the Nuggets.
Absolutely, and you brought up Jokic. If I had a vote for the MVP at this stage in the season, he'd be my vote. Mm-hmm. I think Jokic is the MVP of the league.
Okay. I would agree with that. How do you view the Phoenix Suns?
I don't take any stock in Phoenix.
They're the same team they were when they were the hot team of the 90s, right? They're the same Dan Majerle team that scored 140 points but also gave up 145.
You brought this up last night, and I thought you were spot on. Dan Majerle, Kevin Johnson.
Yeah,
Charles Barkley.
Right.
That's what you had. You attempted to bring in AC Green to give you a little bit of that defensive toughness, and by that point in time, your stellar backcourt was beyond mm-hmm. what they once were.
Right.
So, no, I thought that was a fine point. I don't take a lot of stock into Phoenix. Again, if you take LeBron or AD, not both, if you take one or two out of the equation, then immediately I believe the Utah Jazz are a serious contender.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the matchup for Utah with the Lakers and with Denver. And you can't hate it anymore with Denver. You just go back to the playoffs last year. Utah blows a 3-1 series lead. Right. That series was over with.
Yep.
It was over. I thought the Nuggets had quit on Mike Malone. You know who didn't quit on Mike Malone? Jamal Murray didn't quit on Mike Malone. He was brilliant.
Yeah.
And then they come back and they beat the Clippers.
Right.
And that was, again...
And remember all the exultation there was about the Clippers at that time.
Correct.
I mean, because they had Kawhi, and they had this, and they had all the pieces, and it was finally their turn to shine, and instead they just, you know, they blew it. They just blew it completely.
And there was the talk of, okay, well, he did that against Donovan Mitchell, and it was an epic seven-game series showdown, and Donovan was fantastic in that series. But he's not going to be able to do that against Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Nope. Wrong.
Right.
Wrong.
Exactly. And he did. And that was the end of the Clippers. And as far as I'm concerned, it's the end of the Clippers for the next couple of years, because that was their golden moment. That was their time to shine. And they just completely just blew it. So I think for Denver, this is a crushing blow. And again, depending on not just the availability, because we know that LeBron will be available. We know AD will be available. But it's the perfect timing. They're going to come back with 10-15 games left to go in the regular season. They're going to come back in the playoffs, and they're going to roll. And that's exactly what they're going to do. And I think Utah might just be that team that just gets in their way. I don't see the Clippers as viable. Now the Nuggets are no longer viable. So it's going to be a fun run in, but I feel bad for Denver fans.
Yeah, right now, actually, if we're speaking of the NBA, we have one game going on. Brooklyn beating Minnesota by 40 as we go into the fourth quarter. 40. This is the same Brooklyn team that lost to the Lakers without LeBron and AD handedly just the other night when Kyrie was ejected. They're beating Minnesota by 40.
Go T-Wolves.
Oh, my goodness. Still to come tonight, 5:30 on TNT. We get the Clippers and the Pacers. That's a nationally broadcast contest. Atlanta at Toronto, also at 5:30. 6 o'clock hour, we have the Lakers at Charlotte. It just seemed like the Lakers and the Hornets matchup was going to be so much more fun when LaMelo Ball was playing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why.
No, I get it. I get it. It's the whole Ball story, the family thing.
With LA, yeah.
That would have been interesting, the LA part of it, but no, it's not interesting.
You don't get that, and again, no LeBron, no AD. 6 o'clock tip-off there. Right here on KOAL at 6:50, we will send you out the live pregame coverage. David Lockron Boone will bring you the call as the Utah Jazz take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Again, 6:50 is when that broadcast will get underway. We get Miami at Phoenix at 8 p.m., and then in the nightcap on TNT, it's Boston and Portland. Quiet day in Major League Baseball. However, a full slate of games that started earlier today, and they'll move all the way into the evening. Right now, the horrible Oakland A's. Can we call them the Oakland Pathetics? Because, look, Steve, you're laughing right now, but this was a team that I picked to come out of the American League.
This is the team I picked to win the division, and I'm sitting here going, what on earth was I looking at?
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently, I can't distinguish the difference between a good team and a horrible team.
Yeah, I get it.
They
I
are
understand.
Horrible. And they are getting blasted by the horrible Arizona Diamondbacks as we speak, 5-1 in the middle frames. Right now, we have Seattle up 3-2 on the Baltimore Orioles. The Mets 2-1 over Philly. We have Boston picking up a win earlier today over Minnesota 4-2. And then a full slate of games moving into the evening. 4:35, Blake Snell and the San Diego Padres will take on the Pittsburgh Pirates. I saw that snicker.
I just heard Blake Snell, and I know you and I both were chuckling. At least mine was vocal.
Well, then we have a doubleheader on national TV. The Phillies and the Mets going at it in game two of their doubleheader. Love the pitching matchup. Aaron Nola against Marcus Stroman. The second game on ESPN tonight, Luis Castillo and the Cincinnati Reds, who have been a great surprise, taking on the San Francisco Giants and Kevin Gausman, who has been spectacular so far this year. Gausman has been lights out for the Giants.
Yep. Giants are not there yet, but they're close.
They're close. Foran has done a terrific job up to this point. That's what's happening right now in the national sports front. I'm going to give you the local sports recap in just a moment. We have to talk New England Patriots and Julian Edelman. That's coming up here in just a bit. Hang tight. It's Drive Time Sports, and we're here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Since they want to know. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Jordan Buscarini alongside Steve Bortstein. Got a pleasure to be with you on the afternoon drive, and we're going to talk a lot of national sports today. We can bounce all the way around. April's a fun month, Steve. It just is for sports. I mean, NBA is finally getting, I don't want to say interesting, because I'm a huge basketball guy.
Right.
It's always interesting. But when you hit this point in time in the season, they mean something a little bit more.
Sure, absolutely.
Right. And it's the same conversation with baseball. Even the lighthearted baseball fans can get into baseball this time of the year.
And there's also, we had the Masters wrap up two days ago.
Right.
That's a great story. For me, personally, as a horse racing fan, the Kentucky Derby is just weeks away, so we've had all these prep races going on. So there's all the other sports that are playing itself out. You got the National Hockey League. They're in postseason. They're getting in the postseason mode now. The Avalanche are playing great hockey. All of a sudden, they're at the top of their division. You got the NFL Draft coming up in a couple weeks. So there's a million things going on. That's why April and October, with October being, of course, college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball playoffs going on, April and October, every 6 months, you get those 3 or 4 weeks that are just fascinating.
Yeah, no question. And even though we're not talking about NFL games, you just alluded to the draft a few moments ago, the NFL is one of the rare leagues where the storylines just write themselves.
Oh, yeah, and it's constant. And that's everyone complains about Roger Goodell being a bad commissioner or not having the fans back or not being in our favor of this. Roger Goodell is a marketing genius because he has turned the NFL into the only sport, really, that has no offseason. There is always something going on, whether it's offseason or not. There is technically no news offseason in the National Football League.
And with that being said, we have the storyline of Julian Edelman. And again, I know when Tom Brady left New England, it was easy to say, okay, this is the end of an era in New England. And I agree. But now you're seeing those complementary pieces that will always be tied to Tom Brady vanish, go away. Think Michael Jordan when MJ left the Bulls and went and played baseball.
Right.
The Bulls were still somewhat entertaining because what are you going to do? How's Pippen? How's he going to fare without Jordan?
Right.
Right. Yeah. Like that storyline was intriguing.
Sure.
The pieces that Jordan left behind, and they were successful without Jordan. They didn't win a championship, but they were successful without him. Okay. So the news comes out last night that Julian Edelman's contract was terminated by the Patriots because he failed his physical. And in my mind, immediately when I saw this come through, I thought, it's only a matter of time before Julian Edelman signs in
Tampa Bay.
That's what I was thinking. You?
Right. I thought the same thing.
That's what I thought. And then a couple of hours later, Edelman announces his retirement with, quote, "It was a hard decision, but the right decision for me and my family, and I'm honored and so proud to be retiring a Patriot. It's been the best 12 years of my life." Now, in the world of sports today, where we live in hyperbole, which I put down all the time here on the show. I hate the hyperbole talk. I hate the legacy talk.
I know where this is going.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
No. Under no circumstances.
Thank you. Thank you.
He's a very good player. It's not the Hall of Very Good. It's the Hall of Fame.
Thank you. And I say that because that is going to be the discussion for the next week or so. We're going to have that discussion.
Oh, yeah.
And in about 5 years, it is going to be brought up.
Oh, it's a snub.
Yeah.
He was snubbed. No, he wasn't, because he never should have been in the conversation to begin with.
I agree with that.
If it was a genuine snub is someone who belongs in that conversation, and he's not that guy. I'm sorry. He may have been a very valuable player to Tom Brady. He may have been a very valuable player to Bill Belichick. He may have done a lot of very good things, but he was not elite. he was not at the very best in his at his position in the game at any point in time. He's a very reliable receiver. He's the blue-collar guy, whatever you want to call him. He's a lot of different things. The words Hall of Fame don't belong at the end of his resume.
No, I think you summed it up perfectly. I mean, look, Julian Edelman's 12-year career in the NFL, his shelf life should have been one or two.
Right.
This is a seventh-round pick out of a MAC.
Yeah.
This is a seventh-round pick out of Kent State who played quarterback.
Right.
And Bill Belichick found a way to utilize him to three Super Bowl championships. He's a cornerstone of the offense. It's fantastic.
Right. I was reading a report earlier about, is he the best seventh round draft pick in NFL history? No, he's not even that.
No.
You know who was? Bo Jackson. Remember, he was a baseball player when he got drafted by the Raiders in, what was it, 1987, I think it was. He was a seventh-round draft pick. There were other seventh-round players. Shannon Sharp, the Denver Broncos, was a seventh-round draft pick. Harold Carmichael was a seventh-round draft pick. Wide receiver for the old Philadelphia Eagles. He's not even the best one at in the seventh round. So, no, he's not a Hall of Famer. I feel bad saying it because I know there's going to be fans who are just going to scream because hyperbole, as you mentioned. But he's a very good player, but I think part of this is it's that sports culture of because he played when I watched him, he's greater than everyone else. It's the LeBron James, Michael Jordan argument. 20-somethings think that because I watched LeBron James play every night, he's the greatest player that ever played. 50-year-olds like myself go, no, there was that Michael Jordan guy. But then there's the 70-year-old who's like, yeah, we had a guy named Kareem Abdul-Jabbar who might have been better than all of them. And then there's the other ones who say that Bill Russell was better. You're never going to please everyone. Everyone's going to have an argument. Everyone's going to have their pounding of the fist, as I like to call it. But no, it's not. This is not a snub for Julian Edelman to not be considered a Hall of Famer.
Somewhere along the way, be it sports analyst, be it fans, we have this idea, you either get a bust or you are a bust, right? Or mm-hmm. It's a snub.
There's no middle ground.
And you pinned it perfectly. And you and I have had this conversation, I know, with the Baseball Hall of Fame and Cooperstown. It's okay. Your career's okay if you don't get in.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay.
Right.
And there are years that go by where I don't believe there should be a Hall of Fame class.
I agree.
We don't
agree
need
completely.
One every single year. But when you start breaking down the numbers for Julian Edelman, let's say you want to try to make a case, right? You're listening right now and you say you're a nuts. Julian Edelman absolutely is a Hall of Famer. He was a part of three championships and was the MVP of Super Bowl 53. This man is a Hall of Famer. Yeah, he's second all-time in receptions on his team.
Right.
Behind Wes Walker.
Right.
Is Wes Walker a Hall of Famer?
No.
Okay.
Under no circumstances.
He's fourth all-time in yardage on his team.
On his team.
I mean, again, the idea that a really good player should go into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I've never bought into that argument. I've never bought into it. And I also believe that part of the reason why the Pro Football Hall of Fame and Cooperstown are a step above the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Right.
Is because every year when we see the Cooperstown list or we see the Canton list, we know every single name that's on that list. Mm-hmm. We know every single name.
Correct.
When you look at the Basketball Hall of Fame, it's not the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame.
It's the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Right. So when you put C. Vivian Stringer in the Hall of Fame with the likes of a Michael Jordan.
Right. It's yeah.
It just doesn't vibe.
The argument is lost at that point.
It is.
What was the number? I didn't see the exact numbers, but Julian Edelman is second all time in receptions to Jerry Rice. Something like that. Postseason numbers or something.
Postseason numbers.
Okay. He's second, but he's like 100 receptions behind him or something. Like, it's not even close between the two players. There's like some gigantic gap. It just someone had to be second. Someone has to be number two. So it doesn't make him a Hall of Famer because he's a billion numbers behind Jerry Rice in this one particular category. Jerry Rice is a completely different athlete. Jerry Rice was a once-in-a-lifetime type player. Julian Edelman just happens to be number two, and he's in a group of like 11 players who are all in that area. And how many of them are Hall of Famers? That would be my question. How many of those second, third, fourth, fifth through 11th guys are those Hall of Famers? And if there's none, then the argument's over right there.
Yeah, I'll throw two names at you right now, two wide receivers that are not in the Hall of Fame that should be in the Hall of Fame and will get in the Hall of Fame eventually.
Okay.
Torrey Holt will get in the Hall of Fame eventually. Okay?
Okay.
Cliff Branch should be in the
Hall of Fame.
Should
have been in the Hall of Fame years ago.
And that's just two receivers off the top of my head that we're talking about. I don't have anything in front of me. Just when I mention those two names, Julian Edelman's not in that category.
No,
I'm sorry.
He's not.
And that's
not, especially not Cliff Branch.
And that's not an insult. And that's what we have to get. We've got to get past this in sports when we have these conversations. Me saying that Julian Edelman is not a Hall of Famer is not me saying Julian Edelman stinks.
Right.
That's not what I'm
and
saying.
And you saying Cliff Branch getting into the Hall of Fame, and you as a listener going, who's Cliff Branch? That should be a moment for you to ponder. Okay, there's a channel on Facebook, there's a channel on the internet called YouTube. Look up Cliff Branch.
Right.
And that's what I always would tell people about, you know, basketball players from the old days. You know, now because I'm aging myself now. Look up Bill Russell sometime. You tell me that what he did in the 60s with the Celtics is any different as far as his dominance on the court to what LeBron does now is being dominant on the court in today's NBA. Because I would argue that Bill Russell, I would argue that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was as dominant a player in that generation as LeBron James is today. And it's just because you've never heard of him doesn't mean he's not a Hall of Famer. Say with Cliff Branch.
That's fair. I mean, you're spot on. We had Cliff Branch before he passed away. We had him on the show multiple times. And I felt bad for that guy.
Right.
Typically, I don't care about individual accolades.
Right.
Typically.
No, I don't either.
But when I was done interviewing Cliff Branch, the two times he came on the show, I genuinely felt bad for that man.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I understand that.
So don't get this idea that because you watched Julian Edelman win three Super Bowls and he was great in the postseason, which he was, that he deserves a spot in the Hall of Fame. You want to put him in the Patriots ring of fame?
Ring of honor, whatever you want to do.
Whatever
absolutely.
You want to call it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where he belongs.
Yeah.
All right. There are franchise greats and then there are all-time greats.
And that's a gigantic difference. And there should be a gigantic difference. And as a traditional sports fan as I am, and I know you are learning that tradition because you're younger. So I'm going to chalk it up to learning. We're traditionalist sports fans. It's okay that your favorite player isn't a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You should be okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know who I grew up wanting to be on the baseball diamond? I wanted to be Delino DeShields.
Oh, yeah.
That's who I wanted to be, was Delino DeShields.
Right.
And you're probably thinking, who? Yeah, he was the guy that the Dodgers traded Pedro for.
Right.
You know, it's okay that nobody knows who Delino DeShields is.
Right.
That doesn't discredit anything that he's accomplished. And mm-hmm. It's the same conversation with Julian Edelman. Fantastic player, outlived his shelf life, should have been in the NFL 1 or 2 years. Again, a 7th-round pick out of the MAC. And he was a quarterback turned into a wide receiver, won 3 Super Bowl rings, and a Super Bowl MVP.
Guy who I loved growing up. When I grew up in Denver, I was a gigantic Riley Odoms fan. He was a tight end for the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
He was incremental in that team in 1977 getting to the Super Bowl. Caught a touchdown in the AFC Championship game against the Oakland Raiders. Riley Odoms was the guy. Riley Odoms is a guy you've never heard of, right?
I've heard of him.
Okay, you've heard of him.
Yeah.
But he was never, just because he went to a Super Bowl and he was incremental in these moments for the Broncos, I'm okay with the fact that Riley Odoms is a footnote in history. I don't go to sleep at night pondering, oh, you know, Riley Odoms really got jobbed in not getting that Hall of Fame vote. Randy Gradishar, for years we hear about Randy Gradishar, should be in the Hall of Fame, should be in the Hall of Fame. He should be, but he's not. Get over it. That's
right.
It. Yeah. Move on.
Julian Edelman's not going to Canton. That's okay.
That's all right.
We got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We'll talk the impact of the Jamal Murray injury. What does that mean for the Western Conference? More importantly, what does it mean for the Utah Jazz? That's coming up next right here on Drive Time Sports.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, it Favors takes a strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
Again, do not forget, coming up tonight, Utah Jazz will return to the basketball court. Utah needs this. They've lost, this sounds bad, they've lost 3 out of their last 10. Ooh. I know, but they're coming up a loss to the Washington Wizards. Now that sounds bad.
Yes. That is bad.
That sounds bad. Even though there were variables, it still sounds bad. Now, you have an opportunity to get back on the winning track tonight. You take on the Oklahoma City Thunder, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But going back to the conversation that we had to open up the show, no more Jamal Murray for the Denver Nuggets. This is the worst part of professional sports. It doesn't matter if we're talking basketball, football, baseball. An injury can change the landscape of everything. And the Denver Nuggets had so much momentum off of their Western Conference championship trip last year against the Lakers. And then they arguably won the trade deadline.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing in Aaron Gordon was a huge, huge get for this team. And when you look at what they established in the front court, going out and getting JaVale McGee, you can tag McGee with Jokic and Millsap. Front court-wise, add in Aaron Gordon. This team is fantastic.
And you mentioned earlier about you believing that Nikola Jokic is the MVP of the NBA.
I would vote for him for MVP. If I had a vote right now, I would vote for him.
Absolutely.
I think he's the front runner. Michael Porter Jr., again, here's some size that you have at three that can score with anyone in the league. This guy's a very unique scorer, right? But now when I look at that backcourt in Denver, are you buying Facundo Campazzo and Will Barton?
Nope.
I'm not buying it at
not
all.
Not in the postseason.
Not in the postseason. No, and Steve, that's a great point, because let's look at the eight teams. I know we have the play-in round, but let's look at the supposed eight teams that will represent the Western Conference in the playoffs. We have the Utah Jazz dynamic backcourt.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell. That's a great backcourt.
Best and the best home court advantage of the NBA right now.
No question. You look at Phoenix, Devin Booker, Chris Paul. That's a great backcourt.
Great backcourt, no defense.
The Clippers go out and they get Rajon Rondo. Mm-hmm. And we know that there is a difference between regular season Rondo and playoff Rondo.
Always is.
We know that. The Lakers, forget about what they have in the backcourt. Even though I love Dennis Schroeder, I love him. I think he's perfect for Anthony Davis and LeBron James. They still have their leader in the backcourt.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron can also play the point, right? It's not an issue for the Lakers. Portland Trailblazers. You got Damian Lillard, who's one of the most exciting players in the game. The Dallas Mavericks, you have Luka Doncic.
Right.
He's well on his way to being the best player in the NBA.
Right.
Then you could throw the Memphis Grizzlies in the conversation. You have Ja Morant.
Right.
When I look at the eight teams, one through eight right now, the one team that doesn't fit, it's what Denver has in the backcourt without Jamal Murray. They just don't fit.
No, they don't fit. And it's not even so much just the name recognition value as much as it is, you brought it up earlier, the relationship between Murray and their head coach. That relationship is now gone. You know, Jamal Murray is going to be a courtside spectator at best, you know, with the injury. But without him on the court, does that team go in with the same fire and brimstone attitude that they had when Jamal Murray was on the court? They can't, because they don't have their number two. And outside of Jokic, Jamal Murray's their number two. Now there is a significant drop-off between one and whoever steps up to being number two on that Nuggets franchise now.
Yeah, there's rare occasions where you have a number one that's an MVP candidate and no one else.
Right.
There's rare occasions there. Like over the course of the last 25 years, I can pinpoint certain players. Kobe, when he was with the Lakers before Pau Gasol, in between Shaq, he was an MVP candidate. He had no help on that team.
Right.
Right. Tracy McGrady was the same way when he was in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
You put him in the conversation.
Yeah.
How much of Jokic's success is based off of what Jamal Murray brings to the table? I think quite a bit.
Oh, quite a bit, because you have to account for Jamal Murray at all times. And if it wasn't Jokic putting up those numbers because he gets all the attention, then it's going to be Murray who puts up those numbers. And we're having the same conversation if Jokic had gone down. So it's that variable. It's that fine line between those two top players. And once you lose one of them, it's a gigantic blow, no question.
Yeah, and you mentioned what's Denver's attitude going to be without their number two and Jamal Murray. Or maybe it's even 1A, 1B. I think he's that important to
sure.
the Nuggets. Mike Malone said last night during the postgame conference that it was, I don't have the quote in front of me, basically said it was a depleted locker room.
Right.
With the news coming out.
That's okay. Putting it mildly, I'm sure.
I'm sure. This is not the Golden State Warriors of 3 years ago. Don't get
no.
this twisted. But I have to believe that when Kevin Durant suffered his injury, and we knew that Kevin Durant was done, Klay Thompson,
yeah.
whichever way you want to look at it, suffered their injury, I highly doubt there was panic in that Golden State locker room.
No. Because they knew what they had on the bench. They knew what they had waiting to come back. They knew what was coming out the next night. So it's not that same thing where you have three or four guys who are all just, you know, spectacular talents. I'll go back to the Lakers of the 80s. If Michael Cooper had gone down, okay, well, we've still got Byron Scott. We've still got Kareem. We've still got Magic. We've still got all these guys here. It's not the same with the Denver Nuggets. That drop-off is enormous.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it really is. And it's sad to see, because based off of the playoff run that Jamal Murray had last year, I was so excited. We're down to the final 18 games or so in the regular season, and now you know his game is done. And the other, the timing of the injury, timing of injuries is never great.
There is no well-timed injury.
There isn't.
Right.
But on the buyout market, like that market has shriveled up. The last name of the buyout market that could have provided you any sort of backcourt depth was Ben McLemore.
Right.
When Houston released Ben McLemore and he signed in L.A., that was the last little bit of energy or, you know, talent-wise that you saw on that buyout market. It's so bare for Denver to try to find any sort of replacement. Like, I look at a Ben McLemore and I would have said, okay, it's not Jamal Murray, but you got a guy that can shoot 40% from downtown.
Right.
That's not out there anymore.
No,
the timing is awful.
Yeah. How do you look at Utah? And how do you look? I guess how do you look at Donovan Mitchell, and how important will he have to be for their success in the postseason?
No, it's equal to Jamal Murray.
Okay,
it really is equal to Jamal Murray, and I think Jazz fans saw that last year. Donovan and Jamal, they put together an historical playoff series.
Right.
We were talking on your show, 40, 50 points a night. It wasn't out of the question. It was a dueling guard game between Mitchell and Murray. The difference here is, if Donovan Mitchell was to go down, Utah would have to rely heavily on the likes of a Bojan Bogdanovic, who hasn't been great as of late.
No.
You have Jordan Clarkson coming off the bench. You got some offensive firepower. Mike Conley, we know at times he's capable of going off. I think Utah has some offensive firepower that you would have to rely heavily on. Your anchor in the middle is still Rudy Gobert defensively.
Right.
With Jokic, you don't have... I'm not saying Jokic isn't good defensively, but I'm saying he's not a stalwart like Rudy Gobert.
No.
Right? Gobert and Mitchell mesh perfectly together because they have contrasting styles on both ends of the floor. Okay? When you look at Jokic and Jamal Murray, they can turn any game into a track meet because you have a 1-2 complement offensively that no one else in the league has. No one else has that. The Lakers don't have that with LeBron and AD. It's not the same thing. You have an uber-talented wing and a massive, massive advanced offensive player in the post. You no longer have that now in Denver.
Right. No, it's a huge, it's absolutely a huge loss. One stat to think about for tonight's game, you mentioned Utah taking on Oklahoma City. Utah is 20-1 this season when Donovan Mitchell shoots 45% or better from the field. So if you have that, if you lose that, that's to your point, you know, about the Jamal Murray factor, you know, because most eyes are focused on Jokic and most eyes are keenly focused on the likely MVP candidate. It allowed Jamal Murray to have that kind of success. It's the same thing with Donovan Mitchell with Utah. If he has that kind of success, Utah can go far. It's unfortunate that a team benefits from an injury, but that's how sports works. Teams benefit from other teams' injuries, you know.
Yeah, so again, for Utah, I think it's super important for Utah to keep the number one seed.
Oh, yeah.
Super important. More important than, say...
Especially with the home court numbers we talked about.
Right.
I mean, they just ended, what was it, a 24-game home winning streak?
Well, they've been phenomenal at home this year. They're 24-3 at home.
Yeah, so it's ridiculous.
And even more importantly, you get the 8 seed, or the winner of the play-in round.
Whatever.
You avoid probably Phoenix. Well, we're going to say Phoenix. You avoid Phoenix, and I'm not sold on them. But you could avoid either the Lakers or the Clippers until the Western Conference Finals.
Exactly.
And that's important.
Right.
Okay, now, as I talked about last week or even yesterday on the show, that I was fearing for Utah having to play either the Lakers or the Nuggets in round two. That was fearful for me because those are the two worst possible matchups for the Jazz.
Sure.
Jokic gives Gobert fits.
Right.
And I don't know that he will give Gobert fits without Jamal Murray because, yes, the two games are intertwined. They are.
Exactly.
Okay, so for Utah... You want the Lakers to either drop to that 6 or climb to that 3.
Right.
Because
so you can avoid them as long as... So you can get them as quick as possible.
Or avoid them.
Or avoid them as long as possible.
Right,
right.
Right. Because I no longer fear Denver.
And, no.
And, you know, I said I didn't view Utah as a legitimate Western Conference contender because I don't view Team 3 as a contender. I just don't.
Okay.
You have to beat... If you're Team 3, you have to beat Teams 1 and 2...
To get past them.
To get past them.
Right. At some point.
That's
yeah.
not the case anymore.
No.
That's not the case. So, again, if you're a Jazz fan, I'm not saying you should be happy that Jamal Murray's injured. I'm not saying that because as fans
well,
of the game.
I'll say it.
Okay. If you want to say it, yeah, go
I'll
right ahead.
I'll say it, yeah.
they probably should because, yeah. I mean, this is going to be... I do not view Denver as a legitimate obstacle for the Utah Jazz anymore. I just don't.
Right. I mean, I'm okay. I don't mind, you know, reveling in someone else's misery. I'm okay with that. As a sports fan, I'm okay with that. You know, guys get injured on the opposing team. Hey, shucks. Sucks to be you. Move on. Do better next time.
When
you
never won a championship, and this is the best opportunity that you have had since arguably 2008.
Yeah, that I don't care how you get there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a big, big deal in the Western Conference. Tonight, the Utah Jazz taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Again, live coverage will begin at 6:50, tip-off at 7. We're going to break one more time. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports right here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 AM.
Final segment on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Jordan Buscarini alongside Steve Bordstein. Going to move over to talk NFL. Why not? We talked Julian Edelman earlier, took a quick break, talked the Utah Jazz. Now I want to talk about the NFL draft. And don't forget, you're going to be able to follow the NFL draft the first round in live time here on KOAL. Steve, you've joined us in years past for the live draft show. That'll be Thursday, April 29th, which means we're 16 days away from the draft. I would like to say the Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock. They are not. We know it is Trevor Lawrence. I would like to say that the New York Jets are on the clock. They are not. We know it is Zach Wilson. What we don't know for sure is who the San Francisco 49ers are going to select. San Francisco now holds the keys to the draft, because depending on which direction San Francisco goes, that gives us an indication of where Atlanta may go, or maybe even Cincinnati. Why the NFL draft is getting more and more intriguing by the day, again, especially knowing who 1 and 2 are.
Exactly. And again, you mentioned Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. That's a no-brainer. If you're San Francisco, are we looking at the end of what has been a very short but somewhat successful Jimmy Garoppolo era? Are we saying goodbye to Jimmy Garoppolo? Are they going to move on from him and go for either Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones? There's a number of quarterback options out there. Or you and I talked about this yesterday. If you're San Francisco sitting at 3 and you want to own the offensive line category, if you will, why not put the next great tight end alongside the already arguably best tight end of the NFL and have a tight end combination of Kittle and Kyle Pitts coming out of Pitt?
I like the idea of it. The problem is you don't trade as many first-round picks as you trade to move up.
To get a tight end.
To get a tight end.
Right.
Right, so I think it's pretty much solidified that San Francisco is going to go quarterback. Although I love some draft day drama, and that would be it, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, that would be the best.
I mean, it would be incredible if San Francisco was to go that route. It's intriguing enough to bring it up. I think the percentage of it happening is extremely low. Mm-hmm. I do believe that the Jimmy G era is just about over in San Francisco. And when you said, it is a success. You went to a Super Bowl. You held a fourth quarter lead in the Super Bowl.
Right.
I can compare Jimmy G's tenure in San Francisco similar to Jared Goff's tenure in L.A. You were in the Super Bowl and in the fourth quarter, you had an opportunity to win the game.
So do you think that by calling it a success, do you think it's premature for them to move on from him?
No, because financially, it doesn't make sense after giving up what you gave up to move to number 3.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but you didn't have to do that. They chose to do this.
They chose to do this.
So by their rationale, you say it was a success. Obviously, the hierarchy there, John Lynch, general manager, didn't think so, because he's the one who signatured that move to move up to number 3.
Well, yes and no, because was Jimmy G's tenure a success? I don't think that necessarily has anything to do with, will next year be a success?
Okay.
In the NFL. It's a week-to-week league.
Absolutely.
And Vinny Rondinelli, who is typically sitting in your seat, will be the first to tell you that when quarterbacks struggle or miss a couple of throws in the Super Bowl, they may never be the same.
Sure. And I think, ask Cam Newton that question.
Ask Cam Newton. Ask Jared Goff.
Yep.
Based off what we saw last year, ask Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay, so number 3 is very interesting. And then again, if it is not Kyle Pitts, which I most certainly believe it will not be, but let's say it's not, Pitts goes number 4.
To Atlanta?
He has to go to Atlanta.
Who again, I question their logic a little bit. And is, you know, what's the confidence factor in Matt Ryan? What's that confidence factor like? I'm not saying they're going to move him or make a move on a quarterback there, but do you get him an offensive lineman sitting at number four? Do you go for, what is Penei Sewell at number four? Do you go him to give him that protection? Because they've already got the receiving core in Atlanta. They've got the players there. You could use a Kyle Pitts. You couldn't, you know. But or do you address the more dire need, which is to make sure that Matt Ryan stays upright so that he can get that run, that next run to the Super Bowl? And again, you brought it up earlier. It's an interesting comparison, right? Did Matt Ryan lose the Super Bowl for Atlanta a few years ago? No. Kyle Shanahan lost that Super Bowl for Atlanta a few years ago. So we're not that far removed from that 28-3 meltdown of the Atlanta Falcons. So Matt Ryan still, I think, is still playing with house money. So does he have a say in what he wants in that number four spot? And if he does, he probably wants an offensive lineman.
Or he wants weapons. Because we were talking about Hall of Fame wide receivers, though. Julio Jones is going to Canton.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question. Calvin Ridley looks the part.
Absolutely. Now, if you're Atlanta, you go for that four pick with an offensive lineman. Guess who then falls in line for Kyle Pitts?
Cincinnati.
And Joe Burrow coming back off the injury this past season, he'd love to have that weapon in his lineup. And that changes the entire AFC North. If Kyle Pitts winds up going there, that changes the entire AFC North as far as the hierarchy in that division is concerned. Suddenly, Cleveland is no longer a shoe-in for being in the number one spot. Pittsburgh starting to age dramatically, and Baltimore is Baltimore. But Cincinnati moves up that flow chart considerably if you get Kyle Pitts in there.
Yeah, so I guess basically the thought process for you mock drafters, if it's not Kyle Pitts at number four, it's Penei Sewell. Mm-hmm. And if it's not Sewell, it's Pitts, vice versa. They're going four or five, barring a trade
or something bizarre happening. Then you start looking at other teams, and obviously we're running out of time. I want to get to your thoughts about the Denver Broncos. You mentioned quarterbacks, time being up. Is the Ryan Lock era in Denver over?
Drew Lock. It should have never began.
I agree.
It should have never began. And as far as Denver sitting at number nine, see, the Broncos are in a unique spot at number nine because they're going to have a shot at a good quarterback, be it Trey Lance, Mac Jones, or Justin Fields. They're going to have their choice of two of those players, barring a trade. And I say that because just looking at the way things are shaping out right now, we know that Miami is not going to take a quarterback.
Nope.
We know that. Okay, we know Cincinnati, Atlanta, they're not going to take a quarterback. We know
Detroit's not taking a quarterback.
They could.
They won't.
You don't think so?
No.
They could. Depending on what they want out of Jared Goff. Did you eat that contract? Did you pull a Cleveland Brown deal for Brock Osweiler? You ate that deal to garner another first-round pick? Because you got two in the Stafford deal. They could.
I think you deal with the ego factor, the fragile ego factor of a guy already, you know, kind of, you know, the relationship that was there between Goff, blah, blah, blah. Now you want him in Detroit. Detroit's so fragile anyway, as far as their front office is concerned. I don't think they make that move. I think they play the safe route in Detroit, go defense, try and enhance that and push themselves forward.
Okay.
Does New England make a move to go for Denver's number nine spot?
It's possible.
And then they go after a quarterback.
Right. When you have a new regime, if you don't have your guy, like the problem with Denver over the last couple of seasons, three, four, five years. John Elway has drafted out of need rather than drafting the best on his grease board.
Mm-hmm.
And he's reached at quarterback. Be it
every
Paxton
time.
Lynch. Yeah, every time.
Yeah.
He's done it. You have a new general manager on this team.
Yep. George Patton.
If Patton is not in love with Trey Lance, Mac Jones, or maybe even Justin Fields, it's possible he slips to nine. It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not in love with one of those three names,
Don't take them.
It's really that simple.
It is. And then if you're in that position, and you're in that position where you can enhance a defense that's already very good to begin with, there's guys like Micah Parsons, there's Patrick Surtain, those guys are available. So there's a number of different ways they can go if you're Denver, and you can make a trade. You know, you want to help out the New England Patriots, and it's funny to even talk about New England moving up in a draft, because it's always New England that backpedals and picks up 26 picks in the 4th, 5th, and 6th, and 7th rounds, and now they're the team that suddenly appears to be in dire need of some major shift into the first round now.
Draft is going to be a lot of fun. Unfortunately, Some days 1 hour is just not enough. Steve, it's been so much fun having you in studio to co-host the show. Are we going to do it again soon?
I'm hoping so.
All right. That's going to do it for us. He's Steve Bortstein. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out. NASCAR Live's coming up next.